It's now live. Welcome to Bento Bureau.
いただきます。
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Bastian Hart, and I welcome you back to Bento Bureau. Today with me is Ichi.
Hello, I'm back.
Jawad.
Hello, I'm back too.
And Jess.
I'm back as well.
And our topic for today is the Japanese education system. And before we start, we categorized our school system into different parts, being primary school with Ichi, also the middle school for Ichi. Jawad is going to take over the high school, yeah. And Jess beside me is going to talk about juku, which are cram schools, and myself, I'm going to talk about the higher education system here in Japan. Let's start. Ichi, why don't you take a lead?
Okay, so first, what is your guide, normally, like, impression of Japanese primary school in general?
Well, I figure that primary schools is more about unity and kind of conforming them. That's actually a pretty harsh word. But I think it's more about just getting people together to just be more active within the group. Not very individualistic, but more just to be act in social harmony.
Personally, when I think about primary school in Germany, it's all about having fun, but learning also the ABC, writing, reading, you know, in your own language, and maybe starting with a second language.
What about the one in Japan?
In Japan, I've heard that it is a little bit different. You learn, of course, reading and writing. However, if it's about integration into the society, then it's a little bit more important than the primary school in Germany.
Jawad, you must have seen the primary school students outside their classroom, right?
Definitely, yeah. I have had quite a lot of experience with primary school students. I think that, you know, first of all, what they value the most is ethics rather than getting into topics like subjects or maybe language. Yeah, they have some kind of language learning, but maybe Japanese, some alphabets and stuff. But I don't think they move on to hardcore subjects that we, as we do in India. They basically teach about how ethics are, what is good, what is bad, how to. Especially the thing that I really notice is how they cross the roads. They have specific rules. Every primary school student are supposed to learn such kind of stuff every day, social activities. So, yeah, that's what I have an impression about the primary schools in Japan.
Yeah, I've seen them crossing the street before with a guard or something.
Yeah, it's actually their parents that are like guiding them through the crosswalks.
The parents?
Oh, yeah. Is that their parents?
Yeah, the moms had to wake up or usually like on the 6 a.m. in the morning, and usually they put on their makeup and they had to guide all the children through the crosswalk to the school. It's a kind of like a, what's it called?
Rotation.
Yeah, it's like a rotation thing. They select one parent per week or something. My mom had to do it a few times when my sister was still in elementary school. She was pretty irritated that she had to wake up earlier than usual.
Yeah, they have in specific places where maybe whether it's in front of a residential area where there are a lot of small children or in front of a school, if it is a crossing, they have special rulings where the students have to raise their hands before crossing, look specific sides, cross the cross. So they have very specific rulings. So when I see these students doing this, I feel like, oh man, what if the Indian students did that too? But that never happens. So that's a very good impression that I have about primary schools in Japan.
So we don't have this system in our country for primary school?
No.
Well, tell us a little bit more about the system. Maybe we can find some similarities, but also differences, I mean.
Like we have talked before, primary school in Japan is not as much about education as middle school or high school. It's about role-playing. It's about teaching the student what is right, what is wrong. So primary school in Japan is mandatory. 99.9% of students enroll in primary school. About the vast majority of them are public schools. So at this point, it is not about students competing to get into a good public school. It's about student coming to the school where the near they live, and they get to talk with their friends. It's about teaching them how to behave in society. Like in the Japanese society class, we have seen about a student who learned how to like serve lunch to their friend, how they have obligation to rotate the role. Today you are the server, the next day you are the one who need to cook, and the next day you are the one who get the food. Learn how to be thankful to them. It is not as hard about academic studies. So, yeah, like what we have more about ethics and other stuff.
Is this mostly in public schools?
Well, 99.99 primary school in Japan are public school. So this is another good point, that we don't have the private school yet. So we don't see like inequality at that level. Students from all kind of class, we have to come together regardless of their parent status, because they have to enroll from a limited choice given by the government.
Yeah, I remember that they actually clean the floor and they cook the don't cook the food. They don't bring the food and they serve the food to the students. Primary school kids.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, can you imagine that in Germany?
No, I can't. Like, our kids, they would look at the teacher and be like, why would I serve the food to my classmates?
It's like the same in Guam. It's like, we're paying you money. You have to give us food. We shouldn't have to serve it to our friends.
Exactly. And they clean the whole school. They clean the hallways with like just a cloth, right? And they like run the up and down the hallways, which I found hilarious. Yeah, right. I remember the documentary.
I don't know. I think the skills they gain from that are quite practical. I'm pretty sure my sister knows how to clean the house better than I do.
Is she cleaning your house?
No. Whenever I'm too lazy, I just ask her to do it, and she does it way better than I do.
I think she has to go back to primary school.
Does she have like homework after she come back home?
Yeah, she does have homework. But that was like 4 years ago, two or 3 years ago. Yeah. The amount of homework she got back then wasn't that much, but she's in middle school right now, so the amount is quite different, I would say.
How's it in India? Do you also clean the school or
serve? I never remember myself cleaning my school. Yeah, but there are schools that clean. There are schools that don't. But the majority of the schools doesn't do that. Doesn't ask the students to do that. Yeah, but one thing that I would like to highlight here is the public private school thing. Actually, in India, the problem is here. We do have the problem of inequality, and that can be seen in the private school and public school things too, if you want to. I'll give you the example from my state. The conditions in education are quite different according to the state, but my state, I belong to Kerala, which has the highest percentage of literacy in all over the India. So what we have is that we have private schools and public school at the same time. So private schools are usually taught in English medium schools. But there's a big inequality that we can see. There are parents who cannot send their children to private schools. However, they have considerably a better education than public schools when compared to primary schools. So that's the case in India, but I'm amazed that Japan doesn't have that.
Yeah, it is too, for the level of primary school. I mean, textbooks are provided for free. The only thing they have to buy is the randoseru. Do you remember?
The bag thing.
Aren't those like 40,000 yen?
It is very expensive.
Yeah, that is quite expensive.
But they're unified, aren't they? And I mean, what I mean is, all of the school kids, they have the same bags.
I mean, they don't necessarily have this same design.
See, that's interesting as well. When I think about my primary school, everybody wanted to have the cool backpack. Like, I had one with planes, I think, on it. And other kids had cars, or girls had ponies or Barbie or something, which is kind of like sexist. But it's kind of usual in Germany to wear like those kind of weird backpacks for school. But in Japan, they have the same ones. Well, I wanted to just give a key factor here, because we were talking about private and public schools. What is important is that public schools here in Japan are actually the ones which are, well, in general, better, have a higher reputation, or are more prestige than private schools here in Japan. Same with universities. Like, for example, the prestige university, as everybody knows, is Tokyo University, Kyoto University, for example, Kobe University. They're all public universities, not private universities. And I think that's like a one key difference compared to other countries where it's the other way around. Public universities seem to be most of the time not as representative as the private universities. Really? But here in Japan, it's the other way around.
So when we talk about private primary schools, what kind of students usually attend those institutions?
Primary school?
Well, yeah, private primary institutions.
Private school. Primary, it is very rare. I personally cannot find information. It's like 0.001% of the school are private primary school.
Mm-hmm. Just one last thing about primary schools. I've heard that there is this so-called escalator school system, so that when you, for example, get into a school, in primary school, which is connected already to Tokyo University, it's kind of like an escalator that the school kids who have been to that primary school, they're able to go to a middle school and then a high school, which are connected to Tokyo University, and then in the end they're able, just because they went to those specific schools, to get into Todai, which is Tokyo University.
I am a little bit doubted about that, because you have to enroll in a primary school near your home. You have limited choice. But maybe we can find out about this later.
I see, okay.
Well, let's move on to the next topic, middle schools. Ichi?
Sure.
So originally this is Buzz topic, but today he is sick, so he cannot
come with
us. Poor Buzz, yeah. But he's sweating at his home right now. But thankfully, Buzz sent me his notes, so I will just
try your best. We try to support you.
How about we start talking about our general thought on middle school first?
Okay.
Well, I think that primary school is more about, you know, understanding the societal rules. And I think middle school, it kind of changes a lot into more about focusing on education or, well, preparing for the entrance exam for high schools. Is that correct?
That's true.
Yeah, I would agree. But at the same time, I would also say that it's a mix of social education and general education at the same time. Because, when you are in the last year, final year of your middle school, then that's the time when you start to prepare for the high school entrance exam and stuff. But before that, basically, it's very self-centered. Everything, you have to do it on yourself. So it is a blend of social education and general education. That's what I have an image about. That's my image about the middle schools in Japan.
Isn't also middle school is the place where you start joining clubs, is that correct?
Yeah, that's where you join clubs.
Oh, so there it starts already with the clubs. That's impressive.
Yeah, actually. The structure of the Japanese education system that we are more familiar with start with middle school. You know, the lecture-based education style, spoon-feeding the student, less like group interaction. Students have to devote their time into juku. So, yeah.
Well, my impression of middle school is always like this. It's the most important school education you can get in Japan, because it basically gives you the way to, or the path towards a high school or like a better university in the end. So it's actually the most necessary school you can attend.
I think it's more of like they're kind of socializing you to get used to the fact that you need to work hard to get to the institution that you want to attend. I think, personally.
Do they clean as well, though?
Yeah, they do.
They until high school, right?
Yeah.
Until high school, yeah. It's for university that they stop cleaning. But once they graduate university and they get to a job, they do cleaning there, too.
Ah, so, right, yeah. I've seen that on the streets, right? They sometimes collect garbage or, I don't know, they start to basically clean the company itself from the inside. Yeah, I've seen that. I was saying "Ohayou gozaimasu," like good morning for every person who enters the company.
But, yeah, okay. They do that.
Interesting.
I think it's also that middle school is the last level of compulsory education.
That's true. It's the last level of compulsory education. So after that, you can just go and get a job if you want. It's when you basically your career paths start branching. Do you want to go to high school or do you want to start getting a job? and work for your family business.
When do you graduate? With which age do you graduate from middle school?
15, 16.
15, 16, and from there on they can start to go to a normal full-time employment? Or
you're not going to get like a good job if you.
Right, but is it possible?
Usually people who graduate from middle school then go directly to the workforce. Mm-hmm. They usually work most, I think, labor-intensive jobs.
Yeah.
Stuff that you can just learn on the job. Doesn't really require any much education or much knowledge that you gain from the schools, I believe. Obviously, it's not going to be that much income.
But your sister went to a middle school here in Japan.
She's still attending middle school.
Oh, she's still attending middle school. Okay. How was her impression of middle school? Did she say anything significant?
Well, when she first started middle school, she joined the volleyball team. So it was a really easy and quick way for her to make friends, kind of socializing her into getting used to the senpai kohai system, which is, like the... how would I say senpai kohai in English? Kohai. How do you even translate that?
Well, senpai is basically the
senior
students, the kohais are the ones who are below those students, and they have to, the kohais have to pay respect to their senpais, and they have to speak formally to them, depending on if the senpai wants to have that or not.
Yeah. My sister, she learned the senpai kohai system, and through her club, she had to basically use a very polite manner of speaking Japanese to her the older students. She would come home quite late, like kind of 8 p.m., and then she had to do more homework than she did in primary school. But I think that all in all, she was very active. She's more social than she was in primary school, I'd say. She knows that she knows most what group of friends that she fits in most. So the story's kind of different for my brother, though, because he kind of he transferred schools during around his third year. Mm-hmm. So he didn't really have a club to join or anything. He was just kind of attending the middle school. And he wasn't that social. He didn't really go out so much.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I would say that joining a club does have a kind of big factor when it comes to making friends in middle school in Japan.
Do you guys know what kind of subjects you learn in middle school? I was wondering about that.
General subjects.
Like mathematics,
science,
social studies.
School education.
Yeah, and you learn English in middle school, apparently.
Wait, physical education, but isn't that sometimes included in the club, or is it still part of
clubs and physical education are both different.
So they have physical education, but they also have clubs afterwards, because some people have like cultural clubs like photography or theater. Yeah.
Physical education is mandatory for everybody.
I see. Mm-hmm. Okay, very interesting. How is it then the transition between middle school and high school? How does that work?
So you normally
probably should talk about the process of transferring from middle school to high school first, because that's when most of the unique factors of Japan come in.
We can talk with high school next.
Mm. Right, but I also, Jawad, you mentioned earlier an exam, right? So after middle school, they take an exam to get into high school?
Yeah, that's where every students are stressed out. Most students are stressed out because they need to get to a nice high school so as to secure a nice future. They need to make their future secure. So that's the starting of, you could say, a very adult Japanese life, because high school students, from my viewpoint, can be a little bit adult when compared to other they behave adultier than many other cultures, many other students from other cultures, maybe from my culture. So yeah, they have to take an exam, entrance exam. It depends. They can choose whether they want to go to a private high school or a public high school. Mm-hmm. Getting into a public high school is quite difficult. You don't have to pay a lot of fees in the public high schools, and most probably they are better in education and in quality than many of the private high schools. There are a lot of private high schools, especially in the remote areas of Japan, who aren't that better. They're just simply working for their monetary profits. We should admit that there are some very nice private high schools too. In Japanese they say Meimon Koko, which literally means that it is very famous. They are very prestigious. There are, but you know, when they are prestigious, you have to pay a lot of money there. So yeah, the entrance exam decides, and it depends upon whether you want to go, and you have to choose at that point whether you want to go to a private high school or a public high school.
So what are some ways that the students prepare themselves for the entrance exam?
Yeah, basic, skills, and they need to improve their skills in a particular subject. So there, if it is a general high school, then they have to probably improve their skills in math, English. English, I don't exactly know how that level of their English, but at the same time, it should be pretty much decent. English, math, history. History has a very crucial importance. It can be Japanese history and also world history. Then they have social science, other sciences. But yeah, in high school, you can choose whether to go to an arts subject, social science field, or to a science field, natural science field.
Like so, a specialty school?
Yeah, you can choose your stream, mm-hmm. which stream that you want to take to. So each school, if you're specializing, if you want to take a stream that is specialized in science, then you probably should have more marks. You should score better in science fields, physics, biology, chemistry. At the same time, if you are focusing on a social science or on an arts subject based, then you'll have to have more marks. You should be specialized more on other subjects, including history. And I don't think they teach economics in middle school, but yeah, you should probably have some very basic knowledge about that, which comes in the social sciences.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, in case of preparation, I think Jess can give us a good insight thought about that when you're talking about juku,
yeah,
the cram schools.
As you said, juku means cram schools, which basically it's the usually used by Japanese students when they want to study. They're either kind of struggling in a subject and they want to kind of keep up with everyone else, or they want to get ahead. They want to focus on one subject, or not really one subject, but they attend. It's basically extra class where they would study for a few extra hours after school, and they want to either get a heads up or they just want to keep up with everyone else. Usually, I think that the attendance rate for jukus are more higher during the time when the entrance exams begin, or for university and high school. Mm-hmm. There are different ways that they teach the lessons. It could be man-to-man, like one-on-one, just the tutor and the student, or it could be basically one teacher or one tutor with a class filled with, I don't know how many people.
So like a classroom is normal class.
Essentially just another extra class, yeah.
When do they do those juku? Is it like after class, normal regular class?
They do it after school. And
wow.
I remember my brother used to attend the juku before his entrance exam for high school, and he would be there for about an hour or two, mm-hmm. I'd say. Yeah, start from around 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. or 8 p.m., yeah.
Does it cost money?
Our own was kind of cheap. And that's one thing about jukus that I find a little bit controversial in Japan, because the good jukus, they cost a lot of money. And, you know, the jukus that are cheaper, the quality or the way they teach is not really that useful or not that good to the students, maybe. And the problem, I think that one problem is that if the people who have money, they have more access to the really good jukus, which then gives the students a bigger edge when it comes to passing the entrance exam or getting a good score, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. and, you know, when that leaves the kids who have financial problems, they have to take whatever they can get, right?
All right. So basically the ones who have less money, they have...
So I think the inequality factor kind of, it becomes more apparent during middle school, not really primary school.
Yeah, the transition from middle school into high school, and then again from high school to the university. Yeah. Well, juku doesn't just provide normal lessons. They also like tutor you when it comes to like what exam were used last year. They have example of a past test, so you got to know, oh, this is the general trend of what is going to be on the exam. That is give you an edge over fellow exam takers.
I think to most foreigners, going to an extra class would be really annoying or irritating.
So annoying.
Or kind of undesirable. But I've seen many Japanese students who actually enjoyed going to Juku because they focus on the stuff that they're struggling with, or they can make friends in Juku. And I think it's become such a social norm in Japan that it's more surprising not to let your kid attend Juku. Right. Yeah. Even my sister is going to attend one soon. It's normal.
Have you attended one?
No, I haven't been to a school in Japan, so I've never gone through the Juku system here. Yeah.
Is there any Juku in America? Something similar to...
There's no private institution.
Do you have to be some sort of like SAT?
Probably like an SAT preparation, but that's usually like a tutoring session, not exactly like its own company. I don't think so.
How is it in India?
Oh, man, it's the land of Juku. So yeah, it's quite hard. Especially in the case of middle school. In last year of middle school, people go. I know there are parents who force their students to go to, we say, tuition academy. That's the name that we have. We don't have scram school. It's tuition academy. So, yeah, you are paying extra for getting another level of, or maybe another more focused classes. Yeah, I shouldn't be very sarcastic here. There are a lot of students who develop their skills, who are able to study more going to a cram school in India. But at the same time, there are students who are being pressurized who doesn't want to go there after schools. So, yeah, it depends upon your personal decision. So my parents were kind enough to not send me to a cram school, and thank them. But, yeah, I know some of my friends who were having hard times. You know, one example that I would say is, many in India, if you want to have a nice future, you should know math. Math is the thing in India. So, and I used to suck in math. I still suck in math, but
you're not fully Indian.
Yeah, you could say that. So, I know many of my friends who had. I myself was thinking about going to a cram school to better understand math skills, but yeah, then I felt like, I know I don't want to study math anymore. Yeah, so math is one thing many students focus on when they go into cram school.
What about in Germany? Like, don't you have a tutoring program or anything?
We have tutoring programs for children who are behind classes. So, for example, a lot of children in Germany have problems with math. They should go to India, I guess. So they have a private tutor, or they go to extra classes on the weekends sometimes for, like, let's say an hour to two. Or they have helps, or they have, like, support, for their homework because they're lagging behind. I've never had those tutors because they're quite expensive.
Too smart.
No, that's actually not true. I was very bad in doing middle school and primary school. I was always I was kind of like a late bloomer, probably. So, yeah, I wasn't that great. I should have had one tutor, probably, but my parents spared me that.
What about in Thailand? Issue.
Yeah, how was it in Thailand?
Yeah, Asian country. What do you think? Well, tutor is a big thing in Thailand.
Have you been to cram school?
I have been to cram school my whole life, since primary school.
Since
primary school.
What was that like?
Oh, it's pretty hardcore. I mean, I remember I have to take an exam to get into my primary school.
Are you serious?
You're kidding.
Yeah. And into my middle school, into my high school.
Wait. So did you go to kindergarten and afterwards there was an exam for going to the primary school?
Yeah, they asked.
Wow.
If I was to say about the situations in India, it's pretty bad because they have entrance exam for kindergarten too.
Oh my God! How do you even study for that?
let's not get into it. It's very complicated.
I want to know. So, what would be on the exam for primary schools? Let's say if you have taken.
From my memory, it's just like basic Thai, basic math, basically things that you can learn in kindergarten. But of course, many students did not go to kindergarten, so they got an advantage in that. Well, we talked before about how in in Japan, the trend is that the public school is like more prestigious than private school. It's the same in Thailand.
Same in Thailand. Huh?
Yeah. So as long as you dumped a lot of money into chukku, you can get into public school, get your education cheaper. But in a way, overall, it's probably cost a lot more if you're going to chukku.
So chukku is an integral part of, you know, students' lives in
especially
Thailand
if
as
you
well.
Yeah, it's a part of student life, especially if you live in the major cities.
I can imagine it's very competitive in any society that has chukkus, right?
Yeah.
That sounds, difficult. Good thing I don't have to go
through. We're too westernized for that.
but so after the juku, and taking the exam after middle school, it goes to high school. And Shawad here has been actually to a Japanese high school, and he gives us some, you know, his perspective of Japanese high schools.
To talk about high school, yeah, I didn't have to go through an exam to get into high school the way the normal Japanese students do. So I quite don't know how the exams was. But yeah, I had special exams in India to get into the high school that I went. I came here as a second year because the education system is quite different where you do the first year of high school in Japan is equal to the 10th grade. That is the last year of middle school in India. So probably when you graduate from there, I came here as a second year student. Talking about high school, the first year of high school, normally it is pretty much as the middle school where students get into a new level of middle school. It is more oriented and they have to show their skills that they have learned in the middle school. So one thing that I forgot to mention when we were talking about middle school was that they learned the philosophy of rentai sekinin, which is also called as this collective responsibility. The one social skill that students going to middle school in Japan learn. So it basically means that you are not responsible only for yourself, but for your group, your society as a whole. So you have to take responsibility if something happens or if there's a need to take responsibility in society as a whole. So that's some social skills that students acquire while they go to a middle school. Mm-hmm. And when they get into high school, they have to show their peers that they have learned something. In middle school, there'll always be a teacher who will monitor. Maybe we can say they don't say to students directly, but yeah, they try to teach the students about the rentai sekinin. Mm. But when it get to high school, they have to show, the teachers won't say anything. They themselves have to show that they have learned something, especially the rentai sekinin in high school. The first year is like that. And also talking about extracurricular activities, club activities, that's when they... Koko actually is high school, right. So the Koko Bukatsu or clubs, mm-hmm. as we say in English, is something that most of the Japanese students enjoy. Yeah, I know a lot of my friends who came to school, they just came to school just to go to the club after school. They waited until the last bell just to go to their clubs and enjoy their time. So yeah, people who... Most of the, maybe a majority of Japanese high school students join some kind of extracurricular activities after school. It can be either social, cultural clubs, including the tea club, tea ceremony club, photography club, music club. There are a lot of music bands and clubs. And when it comes to sports, athletic clubs, it'll be yaku or baseball, soccer, other volleyball, swimming, running. These are kind of club activities that people join to.
Were you in any club, Jawad?
Unfortunately, I couldn't join any club because I was pretty much spending my time learning Japanese after my high school. We had a club.
That's why you're so fluent.
We had a club that named Gakshubu, which means study group, where, you know, we simply basically spend our time learning Japanese. We had other students who joined there too, but they used to have other normal Japanese students who didn't join any other clubs. They came there, they spent their time there, and they used to help us in doing our Japanese homework. So that was a very nice experience at the same time. But to add, yeah, I had a miserable time there because there, our class was situated next to the ground where people play soccer. And as you may know, soccer is like my thing. I love soccer. And yeah, I always used to despair. I always used to regret. I used to look at the window being the sad guy. I used to look at people enjoying having nice time playing soccer. And I always wished I could join them too, the Sakabu. And yeah, most of my friends back in high school was from the Sakabu, the soccer club. And I really felt that some of my friends developed as a human, as a social being, and as a person when after they graduated or when they were third year. I had a lot of friends who developed their skills in that particular thing that they do. So from first year onwards, as the first year of high school, they tried to develop their skills. In second year too, they tried to develop their skills. And the third year, mostly they have to prove that they have developed their skills in the club. So if it is baseball, they have to focus on either one of their skills, catching, keeping, pitching, whatever it is. It is soccer, I know, because I have a lot of friends who went to these clubs, so that's why I'm proficient and I know these kind of things. So getting back to second year is where everything combines, because starting from second year, you literally move a level upper and you are senpai there. So you have to show your first year students, your kohai, your juniors, that you have to lead them in most of the clubs. Mm-hmm. And also the lecture oriented classes begins. That's a mostly you pretty much don't have many discussions during the classes. It's very lecture oriented. You have to study a lot when you're in second year. You have to balance everything. You have to balance your club life and also in the normal study life. And yeah, once you get into third year, that's the time when people start to study, prepare for their university exams. So Japan have a very unified university entrance examinations. People call it Senta Shiken.
That's
the name. So people, it's pretty much like the SAT exams in America or baccalaureate other courses in England, UK, or other countries. So they have the entrance exams. It's very common. So people can... There are other methods to get into university too. But yeah, normally every Japanese student write if they are planning to go to a university. So they have to develop their skills again as they did in the final year of their middle school. But this time more hardcore. And this time I think a lot of people go to Juku while they're in the third year. Yeah. People go while they're in first year or second year too.
Isn't there like that one term in Japanese for people who are really struggling through that time when they're studying, like Juken Jigoku or something like that?
Yeah.
Benkyo Jigoku? I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, because Juken Jigoku basically means examination hell. I've heard it. It's a word, something like that. I've heard it from a few of my friends who went to high school here. Yeah.
Yeah. What, you know, when they go to cram tuition, other special juku, or even if in their school, when it the summertime, natsu yasumi, it's a time that is for juku or to spend your time getting more deep. More skills on particular subjects. So, as you may know, it's summertime right now in Japan, and if you are a regular Japanese television watcher, then you might know that there are a lot of advertisement that they of jukus where they ask people about they advertise about juku. They need more students in juku. So yeah, they go through several and hundreds of thousands of exams. They learn by solving problems in tests, small tests, practice tests. They go through a lot of tests every day in their school. And if they're going to juku, that's what they have. All the time they solve problems, math, English, social science, whatever it is.
So, but does that also mean, what about the students who want to get a job after high school, though?
basically they don't write this center chicken. They don't have to if they don't have to go to a university. But yeah, what they do is they job hunt in the latter half of their third year. Ah. So they can find, and yeah, pretty much people, it's labor intensive jobs that they choose to where they don't need any special skills.
Even after high school, they don't need any specific skills. Do they get better jobs than the ones who graduate?
Yeah, I'm pretty
from
sure they're better yeah. jobs. Yeah, but you know, not exactly like they don't require critical thinking, I would say.
Yeah. I see. Mm-hmm. Well, but yeah, then afterwards, the higher education comes with the universities, and they're taking exams, as you said. But I've heard that there are two exams. The central exam,
yeah.
But also, isn't there a separate exam when it's about getting into
a private university?
Yeah,
you have
yeah.
to do that too. So
basically, it's the case with, again, public universities and private universities. It's very competitive to get into a public university, but it's relatively easy to get into a private university in Japan if you compare the exams with each other. However, the problem we have is that private universities are more expensive than the public universities, right?
Well, yes. You know, they get government funding, public universities.
Right, but it's interesting, isn't it? Because for our understanding, public universities should be easier to get into them. But here in Japan, it is just, you know, completely the opposite. Yeah, go ahead, Ichi.
No, I think the time, we are running out of time.
Well, we're not running out of time, Ichi. Everything is fine. We're going to continue now with a higher
education. No such thing as time in our podcast.
There's no time.
All right, well, let's just talk about universities.
Right, yeah. So universities is the same. So they take the exams and they go either to one of the public universities where they, even though they haven't been good students during their university time, they would get a good job because... Mm-hmm. Companies only look at the university's name. So they don't care about the grades. They don't care about the extracurricular activities. Most of the time, those people have joined clubs because clubs are quite important during university life as well. But they look at the university's names, and when something like Tokyo University would stand there, they would hire them and give them a good job, or like actually a great job compared to others.
So does that mean the grades don't really matter?
Grades don't really matter, I would say. It's,
really?
Of course, they shouldn't be the worst, but as long as you pass with a decent or like an average GPA, I mean, they don't have like a real GPA as in America, but it's easier to describe it, they will get into a company. I've heard just only like one of the bigger companies, I'm not sure if it was Toyota or something, they'd look actually at the grades and what the person did during their university time. They don't look at the university's name. But anyways... Yeah, universities kind of work the same as in other countries. It's like similar to a bachelor degree. However, if you compare to us, in general, I would say in general, a lot of people try to persuade a master degree afterwards in other countries. At least it becomes more and more common. But here, going to a daigakuin, so like a master degree program, is very unusual. I've read actually one article that said that back then, if you wanted to become a lawyer, you didn't have to go to a master, like a daigakuin school.
Really?
However, now it changed. Now you have to like do actually a daigakuin. So in those cases, it's kind of like required to daigakuin. But I know many students here at TIU, for example, they don't go to a master degree. They just do their bachelor, and after that, in the last year, basically, they start to find a job. They start to do job hunting.
Maybe not the last year, but more like third year.
Yeah, the third year, like something in the middle of it, isn't it, right? Third year, fourth year, yeah, true. So they do job hunting, and some of our Japanese friends, they have been successful,
and they
graduated, and they found a job now. But we also have one friend who actually is right now in the master degree program here, TAU. But yeah, she said that it's very unusual, and they are just... a few students actually are taking that master degree, and I find that quite interesting. How is it in your countries? I know that in Germany a lot of people go to a master degree. I mean, it's something similar to it sometimes it's a master degree as in America, but yeah.
I think in Guam most people who major in something like tourism or IT, they would usually try and go for a job that relates to IT or tourism.
Mm.
I think those credentials are required if you want to attend a job, or at least it'll be easier for them to hire you if you have that type of degree, I'd say, yeah. So I think that the courses you do take in university matters in the situation of Guam. Yeah. Mm. What about in India?
If you want to specialize, then you definitely have to have a master's degree. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it is, I mean, people in India, you know, many of the people are going technological their fields, and we need specialization. So people definitely, a lot of people go to master's to get a higher professional skill on their subject.
How is it in Thailand?
I have no idea.
You don't know if they would rather go to a master's degree or would start a job.
Well, like Jawa said, if you are in like engineering school or medical school, you probably need a master's degree, because I mean, even job hunting in Thailand, the job market is very harsh on the student. We have limited number of job available. So if you want to get good job, like all we know, like probably in every country in the world, you have to get something that gives you an edge over other people.
That's kind of interesting. So if Japanese universities don't really concern themselves so much about the grades, then how do they know if the person is qualified? What do they do?
Right. What do they do? So they just basically look at the university status. Well, because when they have this kind of impression, when you come from a, you know, established university like Tokyo University, let it be or Keio University, Meiji University, those are all like top ranked universities in Japan, and they just think, hey, it has to be a student who has been studying his whole life very hard, but they're not really relating it to the fact that they have either a lot of money or they've just been lucky. And I don't even want to say lucky, because I think money is very important here in Japan in order to get into good universities, as well as having like good jukus. And yeah, therefore, it can be quite challenging for the people who are basically not having that money to actually get into a higher prestige universities. They have to work much harder than the others. However, if you get into those universities, it's definitely sure that you will get a great job in the end. That's what they say. And I'm wondering if how that is going to change in the future, because now we have in America that Stanford or Harvard graduates sometimes even live on the street, even though they have a PhD or a master's degree from those kind of university. So I wonder how that is going to develop here in Japan. Would like to know more about it.
Well, it seems interesting. It looks like Japanese companies are interested more on the amount of devotion that the potential employee can give to the company rather than the actual credentials.
And I think it has also to do with something like the clubs. You know, I mean, if you integrate into the society, clubs are the most essential part. And as Jawad pointed out earlier, high schools especially, like it sounds like they focus rather on their club activities than their school life. But because of their clubs, they are able to basically integrate into society. And if you go to those prestige universities, I just have the feeling that they have this image of a perfect example of a Japanese person, you know. You know, a perfect integrated Japanese person. And that person, they can basically control him much better than university students from, you know, a less prestigious university. But that might be a little bit biased. I just thought of that, you know, idea, actually. But yeah, guys, do you have any other comments about school system here in Japan? Or any other impressions, last comments you would like to say about them?
You know, I think we should also talk about foreign students who would want to get into middle school or high school or maybe university in Japan. Getting into a university in Japan, seeing from a foreigner side, it would be more easier than going to a high school or a middle school.
Right.
You can have the chances of learning, and you can go to language school, get some language skills in Japanese, and then you can go to a university in Japan. That's what a lot of students do. But going to a high school, you probably should have previous knowledge in Japanese, because basically they don't do classes in English. Mm-hmm. And it's the same for middle school too. So foreigners or half students, students who are half Japanese, half other countries, they probably have a hard time if they are not fluent in Japanese or if they are new to Japan, they moved back to Japan. Yeah, so
I think you opened up the topic for one of the next episodes quite well. I think we're going to have some episode about international students here in Japan.
Oh, definitely, and how the, yeah.
Since we're all international students and we're going to an international university, I think that's a good idea to follow up with it. But before we end this podcast, we definitely want to say thank you. Thanks to our listeners who have actually liked our Facebook site and who have been listening all around the world actually to our podcast. And we just achieved a couple of days ago that we actually had more than 100 likes on Facebook, right, guys?
Yeah. Thank you very much for all your
support. Thank you very much. Your support is very big for us.
It's very big for us. I mean, we just started out and we have heard a lot of comments from our listeners how it's going quite well in our podcast. We still have to improve, but yeah.
Like, we need more women in this podcast.
We need more women in this podcast. Right. But we
take all feedback seriously.
Exactly. We would like to take your advice, the listeners' advice, and therefore, if you have any questions or comments towards us or some suggestions or topics you would like to hear about in the podcast, why don't you just leave us a comment on our website, which is www.bentobrew.com. You can send us also a mail and under contact us, or you just contact us via our social media. We have Twitter, you can find us at Bento Bureau, as well as Facebook. Just type in Bento Bureau. Exactly. Yeah. And via iTunes and all the other podcast apps, you should be able to contact us as well. So just leave us some comments, some suggestions, and we try to make the best out of this podcast just for you. And I think we can round it up with that. And thank you very much, guys, for your great research and passion about this topic. And
thank you very much, you too. You organized us very well, so thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, I think that's it.
ごちそうさまでした。